And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, David Morris is back. He is the Executive Director for the American Heart and Stroke Association in Delaware. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's great to talk to you today.
Well, of course, we're talking today. We're in February, and February is Heart Month. And so you got to be here. You're actually going to come back next month, and we're going to talk some more about women's heart health. But today, we're just going to be chatting about what the American Heart Association has been up to. And I said heart, and again, just because it's February, but heart and stroke. So what's new?
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, so much going on right now. And as you mentioned, with February being Heart Month, you know, we always don't want to forget the stroke piece, and heart and stroke always go hand in hand together. But, you know, this month is really the key focus for us is on cardiovascular disease and heart health. But also, you know, we have a really big focus on women's heart health in particular in the month of February and raising awareness around women's heart health. As you know, you and I have talked about this before, Laura, but you know, heart disease, you always think of these old men, right? You know, but cardiovascular disease and it affects just as many, if not more, women than it does men. In fact, heart disease, number one cause of death amongst women. In fact, 1 in 3 women will suffer from cardiovascular disease in their lifetime. So this is really an important time for us here in Delaware.
Well, heart disease is still the leading cause of death, though, for everybody, is it not?
That's correct, yes. So around the world, heart disease is the number one cause of death, and stroke is number two. Here in the United States, heart disease is the number one cause of death all around the country and right here in Delaware. Stroke is the number 5 cause of death around the country in the United States, but it's number 4 in Delaware, and it's actually the leading cause of long-term disability. So this is a big fight that we got on our hands right here.
When we take care of our cardiovascular system, we're not only helping our heart, but we're also working towards preventing stroke, but also kidney disease, you name it. Our heart health is really our entire body health.
That's correct. Yeah. And there are a number of ways that people can fight this thing on their own. In fact, 80% of heart disease and stroke can be prevented. And the cool thing is the American Heart and Stroke Association has identified, you know, these really simple ways that people can avoid heart disease and stroke just by focusing on ourselves. So it's really, and you don't have to do all of them, you know, to the listeners out there. So you can say, oh, you know, oh, if Dave and Laura today are talking about 6 or 7 different things that I can do to help my heart and brain health, my vascular health, that seems like a lot, you know, but really if our audience today, if they just think about, and it's everybody out there and it's all age groups too, and it's not just when you're older, you can really, if you start to think about your heart and your brain and your vascular health now, through just a couple of simple steps, you can really live a longer, healthier life.
It would be nice to make old bones, that's for sure. But are we seeing it in younger populations now, too?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we have. And in fact, the pandemic in particular has shown a very bright light on this, Laura. You know, in fact, you know, we are seeing more and more younger men and women in all ethnicities suffering from more cardiovascular disease and stroke over the last 2 years. And you might say, well, why is that, right? You know, what causes that? I think it's a number of factors. You know, first and foremost, people aren't seeing their primary care physicians like they did before. You know, people are not going to the doctor. They're not getting the basic annual checkups that they need to make sure that they're aware. They're not knowing their numbers, right? We're seeing higher and higher rates of hypertension, which is easily the leading cause of heart disease and stroke, but also, you know, people have developed bad habits during the pandemic. And I'll be honest, I'm not alone. You know, you're not alone out there. I mean, I'm one of these folks too. You know, we've seen people, the rates of, you know, people lack of exercise. We're not eating right. People have been consuming more and more alcohol these days. Again, not seeing our primary care physicians. We don't know our numbers. We're even, interestingly enough, seeing, you know, tobacco and smoking and vaping rates on the rise. And that's one of the most, you know, that is right up there with the most preventable ways to prevent yourself from heart disease and stroke. You know, people have been gaining weight. You know, we're sitting at home, we're sedentary over the last couple of years here. And, you know, by losing weight, getting active, smoking less, eating healthier, and limiting our alcohol consumption, that's the way that we can really, like, fight this thing long term personally.
Wow, you're no fun. All those things I enjoy, you just like, with the exception of the smoking and vaping, man, you know, you had me.
I was gonna say, I don't peg you as a vapor.
No, but pass me the salt shaker and give me the bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're getting younger in this, and is it because of the pandemic 20 that we packed on over this year? Because it's not just the weight; it's poor habits all across the board, right?
Right. You know, like I said, you know, a lot of times we've developed unhealthier eating habits during the pandemic. It's also, you know, there have been barriers to exercise. You know, a lot of these, a lot of us are exercising and working out here at home, but, you know, we've seen a lot less physical activity out there. And, you know, we're eating less healthy. And frankly, you know, all the studies are showing now that alcohol consumption has risen quite substantially during the pandemic. You know, maybe it's because we're at home and, you know, it's just easier to grab a drink when you're sitting at home. But, you know, and that's okay. You could drink. People can drink. That's the Heart Association is not saying do not drink. But what we are saying is you want to limit it to one drink per day for women and two at most for men. We recommend red wine is the preferred beverage. So maybe if, you know, you're thinking about, you know, a beer or something that's high in carbs and sugars, you know, maybe you think about grabbing a glass of red wine instead and just keep it in moderation. That's what we're saying.
Women, let's talk a little bit about women. If we're seeing heart disease, cardiovascular disease in younger and younger people, it's obviously then we're seeing it in women as well. When should women start worrying about their heart health?
Yeah, that's a great question, Laura. Thanks for asking that. So our recommendation is that women in their 20s may want to consider a couple of different things. So number one, a blood pressure screening. And this is where the Heart Association, we always say, know your numbers. You know, as high blood pressure greatly increases your risk of heart disease and stroke, and there's usually no symptoms. You know, I will be honest with you, Laura, I suffered from hypertension and had no idea about it until I started working for the Heart and Stroke Association. It's called the silent killer for a reason. You can develop this in your teens and even in your 20s and have no idea. And it really does long-term damage to your heart and vascular system. And that is that's the number one root cause behind it. You know, also knowing what your cholesterol levels are. And you can have high cholesterol as well in your 20s and have no idea about it. And this is where, you know, we all go to our, you know, those of us that go to our primary care physician, you know, try to get that annual checkup once a year. And then they order that blood work for you. And you're like, oh, my goodness, you know, now I got to go and do something else. I got to go get some blood drawn. I hate that. I don't like needles. It could save your life. Really, because it can determine, you know, your lipoprotein profile, your LDL cholesterol and HDL cholesterol levels. And that's really important, too. And by going to the primary care physician, knowing your blood pressure is really important as well. And then the other thing is our BMI calculations, which is the body mass index. That gives your physician a snapshot to determine whether you have a healthy body weight and composition. I think those three things, if we can start to think about those at younger ages and in our 20s, that's really important for us to live longer lives.
And women have other issues like, oh, they have babies. And
yes. Yes, great point. So pregnant women, we are seeing that they're facing more and more specific risks and challenges now. This is really something that's really come to light during the pandemic in particular, I think. And I'm glad that we're recognizing this. So pregnancy can result in complications that can predict cardiovascular disease in the future. So, you know, preeclampsia during pregnancy can cause normal blood pressure to raise to dangerously high levels. And this leads to health risks for the mother and the baby during pregnancy, and can make actually women, maybe even not during the pregnancy or immediately following, but but down the road twice as likely to suffer from future heart disease and stroke. And this is really important. You know, we've actually seen, we have a number of incredible survivors right here in the state of Delaware. A woman named Lindsay Ferrante comes to mind for me. She was in her mid-30s. Her and her husband kept trying to have a baby. They had finally had their miracle pregnancy, you know, but she wasn't aware of what was going on with her body. It places an incredible amount of stress on women's bodies. You know, as a man, it's hard for me to even understand what that's like for a woman to create life. But, you know, just a few days after her miracle son, Rocco, was born, she suffered a spontaneous coronary artery dissection, which is the widow maker. You think about, you know, that with men where her aorta dissected, and she really had no idea. But that's part of that is from that stress of carrying a child and what that the changes that it does to their body. There's also, you know, one other thing that we recommend for women postpartum is within 6 months of their pregnancy to be tested for gestational diabetes. This is something, you know, diabetes goes hand in hand with heart disease and stroke as well. And a lot of times it can go away after delivery. But, you know, this is really increases a woman's risk for developing type 2 diabetes, which can ultimately lead to cardiovascular disease as well. So these are, you know, pregnancy. I'm really glad that we're aware of this. And I think another important part for us is that, you know, women need to continue to check their blood pressure even after birth, because that's really important for us. And, you know, for more information on that, I would really recommend visiting heart.org to see, you know, just what you can do during and post pregnancy to really help fight heart disease and stroke. Care women from having babies out there, by the way, please know, keep the babies coming. We love babies. Just make sure you're taking care of yourself as well.
Black women have additional stress issues going into this, and numbers reflect poor outcomes for them in heart disease.
Yes. So, and we are actually seeing that in the Latino and, you know, the Hispanic and the African-American communities, rates of mortality, even from heart disease and stroke, are significantly higher than they are for Caucasian. But that it really, it's for women of all races, ethnicities, colors. You know, we really need to... I think a lot of times what happens is that women think about, they're the caregivers, and they're oftentimes thinking about, you know, okay, you know, my spouse, my children, my parents, you know, thinking about their health. But the big push with the American Heart and Stroke Association here in Delaware and around the country and the world in the month of February is really, we want these women to be a little bit selfish this month and really think about themselves, right? And, you know, we talked about the pregnancy thing a moment ago and the postpartum issues. And what we are seeing is, especially with women of color, you know, their mortality rates postpartum are significantly higher than those of other races and ethnicities. And so that's something that we really want them to be in touch with their primary care physicians, talk to their families, get a blood pressure cuff, know your numbers, check it every time you can, and make sure that you're safe.
Does this run in families?
It does. So I think I mentioned earlier that 80% of heart disease and stroke can be prevented through the simple factors, you know, exercising, eating right, know your numbers, things like that, don't smoke. But, you know, 20% of heart disease and stroke is hereditary. It's also part of, you know, age is a factor, you know, as well. Obviously, we see more heart disease and stroke with older folks, but so many of us have heart, and I know you and I have talked about this before too. You and me have it too. You know, heart disease runs up and down my family tree. And I largely ignored it. You know, I largely ignored it until I was, you know, my late 30s and early 40s. And that's when I discovered that, you know, I too suffer from hypertension. And while I try to follow those factors to lead a healthy life, some things you just can't control, you know, and that's why it was important for me to recognize that, I too was suffering from that silent killer of hypertension. So, you know, it's part of it. A lot of it we can control. We can't. Yeah.
Well, you do what you can with that 80% then. And we're going to talk about the American Heart Association itself. And you can find out more information about what we're talking about today and tips about heart and stroke prevention and things that you can do for that 80% preventable rate. And you find it at heart.org/Delaware for Delaware, but heart.org. heart.org will always get you to your local chapter of the American Heart Association, heart.org. And you can follow them on social media at AHA Delaware. And that's on all of your social media platforms, AHA Delaware. I'm talking today to David Morris. He is the executive director for the American Heart Association here in Delaware. I'm Laura Lewis. This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. And you guys do stuff all year round, and you've got great programming, and there are all kinds of ways that we can get involved. So let's spend the rest of the time that we have today and talk about the American Heart Association itself. What's its mission, and how do you deal with all of this?
That's a big question. I could probably keep you here all day, Laura.
Go
but
for
sure
it.
Your listeners have other things to do. You know, our number one mission is to be a relentless force for a world of longer and healthier lives. And, you know, as we look at the numbers here in the state of Delaware in particular, you know, Delawareans suffer from a higher rate of death from stroke, you know, which is caused by hypertension, which is much higher than the national average. You know, we here in Delaware have made it our mission to focus on a few key pieces here. So, you know, obviously we're very interested in through education, public awareness, and that's you're helping us today. We love our friends at WJBR. You guys are amazing champions of our life-saving work in the community. You know, but we also, you know, we are our main focus for this year through our efforts in the community are number one, you know, raising awareness around women's heart health and stroke. Also hypertension control. We've talked a lot about that this morning, you know, about you know, making sure that people know their numbers. You know, we have set a goal to bring 70% of Delaware's population within the AHA's guidelines for your blood pressure. We're also focused on stroke care, improving the stroke outcomes across the state of Delaware, and a lot of prevention efforts, which include physical fitness and activity, also nutrition security. You know, we've actually, our numbers, Laura, interestingly enough, have shown that one in two families in the state of Delaware are suffering from what's called nutrition insecurity. We have a substantial amount of food insecurity, and that's what you hear a lot of times about people are going hungry. But there's a second piece to it, and it's called nutrition insecurity. And this is where, you know, families in the state of Delaware, and really around the country and the world, not only are they having trouble getting access to food, but they're having trouble getting access to the right foods. The healthy foods, the fruits and vegetables, you know, the foods that are low in sodium and, you know, that are healthy for your body in those good cholesterols. And we've really made it our mission here over the last couple of years to bring the right foods to the folks here in Delaware of all age groups, because the sooner you start eating healthier, the longer life you're going to live. So that's a big focus for us, too.
That was an amazing piece of the puzzle that when you launched that a couple of years ago. And of course, it is so easy to say, oh, eat better. If you don't, one, have access to a grocer and you don't have the money for it, you know, it is harder to eat well if you don't have access.
Correct. parts of the state of Delaware are deemed a food desert, you know, which is a relatively new term for us here in the United States. You know, you think about, oh, well, everybody can get to food, you know, but it's about getting to the right foods, right? And it's also a lot of times the cheaper options for families are the more unhealthy options. And, you know, that's where we're trying to come in and work with our community partners across the state of Delaware to make sure that people have access to the right foods. I think you and I have talked about this before is it starts with the kids too. You know, if we can help them drive what we're putting on our plates, it's really important. You know, we talk about adding color to your plate. And I think one really neat thing that I've found over the last couple of years working with the Heart and Stroke Association is that by engaging my children in these healthy eating and these heart healthy activities, including physical fitness, but really on the food side, that actually helps me eat healthier too. You know, if my kids are saying to me, hey, Dad, where's the color on our plate tonight? I'm like, that's a good point. We need some broccoli, or, you know, we need some vegetables, or let's have some fruit. with our dinner tonight instead of those sugary snacks or things like that. So,
which again, boy, you're a downer.
No, we're eating healthier in our house.
You can have a sugary snack. It just, you know, you gotta in moderation. Everything is in moderation. That's the thing. But your programming that you've worked with other organizations to work on the nutrition security in the state has just been absolutely wonderful. And we're gonna have to talk more about that on another day. But you've got events, but you've got other things that you work with us on doing, and it's educating us not just about our physical health, but also what we can do for our community as far as CPR and other things. There are other ways that we can work towards making us a better, heart healthier state.
Yeah, that's a great, and one of my favorite things was working with the team at WJBR this past year to show you guys the hands-only CPR techniques. That's a big way that people can help us save lives here in the state of Delaware. In fact, 90% of cardiac arrests, so you know, there's different cardiovascular disease versus cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest is actually when the blood flow stops through the heart. 90% of cardiac arrest occurs outside of a hospital setting. And that's where we want all 1 million-ish. I think we're closing in on 1 million here in Delaware. All 1 million Delawareans to know about hands-only CPR. It is very easy to learn. It can be learned in just a couple of minutes. We have resources on heart.org. You can also take, you know, sign up for training classes there. It is a very easy way to help be a lifesaver in the community. And you can recognize those warning signs and really jump into action. And Laura, I think back to you, the one thing we got to remember, right, is you got to do fast and hard, right? Wasn't that it? Right?
Fast and hard and put some elbow grease into it.
Right.
And the other thing is, if you are little, you can always be yelling while you're dialing 911, yelling, big guy, come over here and help.
Yes, right. It helps to have a buddy there. And you're right. You mentioned an important point that I forgot to mention there. Call 911. Dial 911 first, look for an AED, get some help. If you can, if you know hands-only CPR, you can jump into action and have a bystander grab their cell phone. That's why it's good we all have these phones these days. Call 911, you jump into action and get help on the way. Also, one of the great things is the state of Delaware, we're one of the first states, if not the first state in the nation to do two really cool things. Number one, we made CPR training a requirement for graduation from high school. We were the first state in the nation that did that, and many, many others have followed. So all of our high school graduates are learning hands-only CPR in school to graduate. But then also, we did 911 CPR training with all the 911 operators and dispatchers, which is really amazing. And we were one of the first states in the nation to do that as well. So even if you're not sure about what to do, I've heard a whole bunch of stories here from survivors in the state of Delaware, from folks that actually called 911, didn't know what to do, got 911 on speaker, and they actually walked them through hands-only CPR while they waited for the EMS teams to arrive. And we've saved a lot of lives with that in Delaware. So how's that? That's a little more upbeat, right?
That's great. And you know what? You just mentioned something else there while you're waiting for the EMTs to arrive. And that's something else you have taught us over the years. Don't drive yourself to the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
And also tell us, when should we be thinking about calling 911? Give us those warning signs and then why we should call 911.
Sure. So they're a little different for both heart disease and stroke. Okay. So I'll just take a quick second to talk about both. So first with stroke, I know it's heart month, but stroke, you want to think about the fast warning signs. Okay. So this is a good little acronym for everybody out there. You see the face drooping. Somebody has arm numbness or weakness. Their speech is slurred. Time to call 911. So face, arm, speech, time to call 911. Okay. With heart disease, it's with cardiac arrest or even cardiovascular disease, it's a little different. You know, we all probably know the warning signs, especially for men. You know, you have pain in the chest, still that weakness or numbness in the arm, right? Difficulty breathing, profuse sweating is part of it. You know, sometimes it can be back pain even, you know, those are the typical historic signs for cardiovascular disease. And absolutely, if you're experiencing any of those symptoms, call 911. certainly can't hurt. I do want to mention, you know, with it being Heart Month and with Women's Heart Awareness, the warning signs for women are a little bit different, okay? So one thing that's really tends to be different for women is they get pain, like almost like jaw pain, which is pretty interesting. Back pain as well tends to be part of it. And sweating and nausea are really big things. So my mother, she's one of the lucky ones. She's one of the survivors. But a couple of years ago, she started to go into cardiac arrest. And she, frankly, she thought that she had the, she started to have a heart attack. I'm sorry, not cardiac arrest, but she thought she had the flu. Like she was just physically ill. And she, you know, she actually was physically sick, but sweating profusely, just thought she just had the flu. And really, it's really important for women to recognize their warning signs can be a little bit different. It's not just going to be the chest pain. A lot of times it can be jaw, back pain, sweating, nausea. That is definitely time to call 911.
And we should call 911 because, leading question.
to get the help, right? I mean, you know, honestly, the, you know, whether it's with stroke or with heart disease, the faster you can get the help that you need. And don't drive. Yes. Do not drive to the hospital. Do not drive yourself to the hospital. You know, we actually saw, just interestingly, around stroke, over 50% of Delawareans, just as of a couple of years ago, were actually driving themselves to the themselves or having a loved one drive them to the hospital with a stroke. And I mean, that's scary for me, because the EMS systems know what type of treatment and where you need to go immediately, because they may want to take you someplace differently. And we've done a lot of work with the EMS systems to actually diagnose that, no matter what part of the state that you're in, to determine, you know, if you need to get to Christiana, or you can go straight to Bay Health or BB or Nanticoke, another one of these health systems, to get the care that you need. Yeah, good point, Laura.
And with stroke, timing is everything.
Right. Yeah. Time is brain. So with every minute that someone goes without being treated, whether it's with the clot busting drugs or actually having the intervention to have the clot removed, every minute leads to either a greater chance for mortality or long-term disability. So again, can't stress it enough. I'm so glad you brought that up, Laura. You know, call 911, get the help you need. These are the experts. They know what to do. They really do.
Well, you've trained me well over the years.
I'm getting this. You have a good voice for us.
I'm getting good at this. I'm getting good at this.
Yeah, you are.
You know, and I review, I think about it, you know, the CPR, the lessons that I learned. I actually look to see if there is an AED available when I'm if I'm in a theater, if I'm in the mall, when I spot one, I make a note of where it is. I'm going to be ready. I will jump into action with my phone to dial 911 and yell, "Hey, big guy, come over here and help."
Yeah. And I would say that's so awesome. And I would say too, don't be intimidated by the AED. That's one thing. That's one big message we've been putting out this month in particular. Those AEDs are amazing. Even if you have no idea what you're doing, you can pull it out. If you think someone's suffering from cardiac arrest, you can pull it out. And once you turn it on, it will actually talk to you and walk you through exactly what to do. So even if you have zero training in hands-only CPR, call 911. Either yourself or have a buddy locate the AED, turn that thing on. It's going to tell you what to do. And it will actually, it'll tell you exactly where to put the monitor. These things are amazing. Tell you exactly where to put the monitors, and it'll actually tell you, it'll recognize, it will check to see if their heart is beating. And if you need to use the AED and perform hands-only CPR, these things are crazy. It's so great, honestly.
Well, obviously, you champion them. The American Heart Association is responsible for a lot of those placements. And for a lot of the information that we know, it all came from the American Heart Association and the research that they've done over the years, because we're out of time. And so now I have to say, if you would like more information or more about what we talked about today, from the numbers to women to, you know, the signs, you can get it all at heart.org. Heart.org will lead you to your chapter of the American Heart Association here in Delaware. It's heart.org/Delaware. And you can follow them on all social media at AHA Delaware. AHA Delaware. And David, it's always fun to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Laura. Thanks to everybody out there for being champions.
And of course, for events and things like that, and how to volunteer, how to get involved, we go to your website as well.
Yeah, heart.org/Delaware, or anywhere on social media at AHA Delaware.
My guest today, David Morris, the Executive Director for the American Heart Association of Delaware. Thanks again.
Thank you, Laura. Thanks, everybody.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.